Hi, everybody. It's James and Andy here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two-fourths of a group of people who love facts, and we love to find new facts, and we come here every week and tell each other about them. For instance, Andy, did you know that one of the world's oldest cycling road races is getting much harder because people keep stealing the road?
I want to know more already, but I'm instead going to tell you my new fact, which is that some ancient coffins from the 17th century have faces.
The coffins have faces.
It's really creepy.
Not just on the inside.
No.
Wow. If you like the sound of those facts, or indeed facts in general, then come and find us, No Such Thing as a Fish, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Oliver Luck, and you're listening to Soccer Matters on 97.5 with the irrepressible Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Hey, if you're an aspiring sports commentator, the next few minutes here as we close the show out tonight are going to be excellent for you. Bill Brown, you know him as the announcer for the Houston Astros. You know him as the guy who called the 3,000 hit from Craig Biggio. Now, if I was a great radio host here, I would have lined up that soundbite, and of course I don't have it. But what I do have is Bill Brown on the phone now. Bill, thank you very much for coming on the show.
My pleasure, Glenn. Thanks for the invitation.
All right, so I want to get right into this. I kind of build this today as a night where aspiring broadcasters want to listen in here to your segment. But most importantly, I want to first get into a new book you've written. You've spent a lot of work and time on this. It's called Sportscasting 101, The Road to Play-by-Play. Talk about the reasons why you wanted to put this book out there.
Well, I'm going to be 73 here in a couple of weeks, so I'm kind of in a reflective mood during the, with all this time to sit around during a pandemic and be thankful for all the nice things that have happened to people like you and me along the way in our careers and the joys that we've had and being able to do what we've done and try to express that thanks. But, you know, a lot of our teachers and instructors from our beginning years are not around anymore, so we can't thank them at this point. But what we can do is turn our attention to the next generation and take them under our wing a little bit, so to speak, through a book. Or sometimes we do, you know, a little work personally with some kids. Mentoring and things like that. I'm sure you've helped some kids out by listening to their tapes. And so to leave this behind for them as a sort of a guide that they can, you know, they may not want to follow in everybody's footsteps, but they can read the stories that people like yourself have in the book for them and consider those as far as setting their course for the future.
All right. So writing a book is kind of a labor of love as well. It's not an easy thing to do. As you wrote this book, based on the amazing career you had, Cincinnati Reds, Houston Astros, you've even called other sports like hockey, which I came to learn after, you know, becoming friends with you. But when you've listened to these other stories from these other guys, what has it done to you? Has it made you think about your career? You know, what sort of emotion might have it evoked?
I think it's evoked the emotion of just being so pleased about this profession that so many people have had to work so hard and just keep knocking on the doors. Yeah, in particular, I enjoyed your story with your angle. You know, there aren't very many guys who have come from the playing ranks then to be an analyst, then to do play-by-play and reach the international stage. That's a tremendous story you tell. And there's a broadcaster for the Dallas Stars hockey team, Josh Bogorod, and he came from LA, and as a 16-year-old he called into a radio station, and that began his career that got him to the NHL. But oh man, it was a long and winding career. He had to call the Corpus Christi professional hockey team something like 10 times and never had a phone call returned, but he did not give up. So these are the things I think that we want to pass along to the youngsters of today, Glenn. Just don't take that no for an answer, or don't take no answer for an answer. Keep trying.
Oh, no question about it. You know, disappointment's a part of this business. You've had them. I've had them. I've been disappointed before, and I probably will be again, and that's just a part of the business. But it is something we're very fortunate to do, isn't it? And, you know, it allows you to remain around the game and the game that we love and the sport that we love.
Oh, I just enjoy talking to you guys so much. And, you know, I mean, for you to reach the international stage after the late start, but it wasn't so much that you just got a chance to get in the booth. It was that you understood that in order to make the move from analyst to play-by-play, you needed a little schooling. So you went back and you got schooling. And this is kind of a common thread with just about everybody in the book. Nobody who achieved a pretty good market size was willing to kick back at any point. And even the Brad Shams of the world doing the Dallas Cowboys are not kicking back. They're still working hard.
No, and passion, enjoying the game. That has to be there, doesn't it?
Oh, there's no question. You know, Charlie Polillo, who works on ESPN, wanted to do play-by-play. And he was passionate about it, but he just didn't get that opportunity. What he got was a chance to go to West Virginia for a while and get into radio through another Syracuse grad and then come to Houston and do a talk show. And he's been doing talk shows in Houston since 1990. Well, you can't last that long in Charlie's business without passion. I mean, you got to get up every morning and grab the sports page and watch highlights. You can't take a day off. It just doesn't work to do that in his line of work. So that's a common thread also, Glenn.
Yeah, no question about it. We're talking to the great Bill Brown. Bill, what was your favorite call that you made? And then I want to follow it up with something else. But what was your favorite call? Doesn't have to be your most memorable or notable, but what was your favorite call?
We didn't do postseason, Glenn, so we were really robbed of that opportunity to do a World Series game or something like that, which would probably be it. But I think Vigio's 3,000th hit probably, even though technically it was not that great a call, in my opinion. But what happens is the emotion just catches you up and drags you along, and you kind of come out of your skin a little bit. You kind of lose some of your professional demeanor because it's okay to be a little boy when you're doing play-by-play.
That's a good way to put it. We're talking to the legendary Bill Brown. But what I always try to get across is, you know, it's not your tagline or you know, I know that's a part of it. It's never really been a big part of there's just so much in between all this that you have to be good at. It's not just a goal call in soccer. It's setting up a partner. It's capturing the cadence and the rhythm of the game when the speed increases. I mean, talk to me a little bit about that or my audience about that because, you know, it isn't just the icing on the cake is what I'm trying to say.
No, and you're saying it well, and I was watching your telecast the other night with Sporting KC, and then I texted you about it. You just had such a good sense of timing, and you texted me back, what do you mean by that? And I thought that was insightful that you texted me back, because we should all be trying to get better no matter how many games we've done. So you want to hear what people think and why they think it. And the reason I said that was that if you had 7 seconds, when nothing too important was going on, you might fill in a little background on a player. But if you had 25 or 35 seconds, then you may include your analyst. And that's all a part of the clock that has to be in your head when you're doing this job. And you made such good use of the time. And you're right. We all think about the big highlight calls, you know, the goal in your case. And okay, that is a big part of it, but it's really more important what you do when you're not calling goals, trying to interest the fans who are watching a nil-nil game, you know, and it's late in the second period kind of thing. There's not a whole lot going on.
Well, it's been easy the last couple games for the Dynamo because they've been so entertaining. They've scored 10 goals in the last 3 games. I mean, that doesn't happen always, and some nights you'll get a more defensive game. I have to ask this personal question to you because I was a huge Tom Seaver fan growing up.
Yeah.
And I realized after he passed, I looked up some of his stats. Mm-hmm. He had 200 and, you know, some ridiculous number of complete games. And I just said to myself, has baseball changed?
Oh, tremendously. Well, I happened to be in Cincinnati when he was traded over to the Reds from the Mets. And this is a quick story I'll tell you.
By the way, I was very upset when that happened. I was very upset.
I understand. And you could kind of see it coming, but Mets fans were hoping that was a rumor that wasn't going to be true. Right. But he wanted out, and he got his trade, and he got to a good team, Cincinnati, even though they had won a couple World Series before he got there. They weren't quite the same team when he joined them in 77. But he joined the Reds in Montreal, and because he didn't come straight to Cincinnati. Players have about 3 days after a trade during a season to report, and he had a lot of things to do. So the first game he put on a Reds uniform, he pitched. Well, the Reds TV network, of which I was an employee, wanted me to interview him right when he got to the team, you know, like 3-4 hours before he pitched. Well, pitchers don't typically do that, and you don't ask them to do that.
Don't bother.
This was a special deal, and he agreed to it. And so there were some stipulations that, hey, your camera's got to be set up and ready when he comes in the clubhouse. He's going to do a real short interview with you. And so we met all the stipulations, and he did a fine interview, as he always did. And then he went out and pitched a complete game shutout. Do you think that could happen today, Glenn?
No. Unbelievable. No. Bill, we got to wrap it up. I just want you to give out the information where people can get the book. We're going to have you on again because I want to get into more ABCs of broadcasting for aspiring broadcasters.
Sounds great. We have a website, www.sportscasting101.com, and that will take care of everything. We've got a print version of the book that's coming out in a couple of weeks. Right now, it's an e-book only.
All right. He's the great Bill Brown. Bill, thank you so much for coming on tonight. We're going to do it again real soon. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Glenn. All the best.
All right. Bill Brown, Astros, Cincinnati Reds. What a book. That'll be the great way to end it here tonight for Aaron Rabel, producing Victor Ariza, all his great work as well. Tomorrow night, Channel 55. Catch us on the Dynamo Colorado Rapids call of that game. For everybody who listened in tonight, podcastarena.com and iTunes. I'm Glenn Davis. Until next week, good night.
ESPN 97.5.
Hi, everybody. It's James and Andy here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two-fourths of a group of people who love facts, and we love to find new facts, and we come here every week and tell each other about them. For instance, Andy, did you know that one of the world's oldest cycling road races is getting much harder because people keep stealing the road?
I want to know more already, but I'm instead going to tell you my new fact, which is that some ancient coffins from the 17th century have faces.
The coffins have faces.
It's really creepy.
Not just on the inside.
No.
Wow. If you like the sound of those facts, or indeed facts in general, then come and find us, No Such Thing as a Fish, wherever you get your podcasts.